Front Page Drama presents The Dotting of an I. Before we begin our front page drama, we have an important announcement to make. Once again, the publishers of the American Weekly have scored the Literary Scoop of the Year. It is a new serial by that master of thrilling fiction, Max Brand. It is the stark story of a man without a country, who lived a life of constant danger in the Orient, bargaining with fate by living a lie. It has all the suspense of a mystery tale, all the thrills of the best detective fiction, and the romance of a love story. Don't miss Dead Man's Passport, which begins in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Front Page Drama brings you the story of a crime that was almost perfect, and one of the small but all-important clues detected by one of the last persons any murderer would have feared, his own son. Great Oaks from Little Acorns Grow is an old and true adage. A man's life has been known to be forfeit because he came within the literal dot of the letter I of committing the perfect crime. It is an afternoon late in August when we find ourselves in the living room of a modest home in Pueblo, Colorado, the residence of Everett Hughes, his son Ralph, and his second wife, Anne. Everett is talking to his boy of 18. Let's listen.
I can't for the life of me see what put this fool notion into your head, Ralphie. Purdue University. It just ain't
I've been trying to tell you, Dad. Mom wants me to go. She says I've got to have an education and I might as well go to a good, recognized college. Gosh, Dad, I can't...
There's a lot of things you can't see, young man. I didn't have no college education. Never even finished the sixth grade, for that matter. I had to get out and hustle for a living. And it won't hurt you a particle to do the same.
But Mom says times have changed, Dad. A guy's got to have a degree if he ever expects to amount to anything.
Oh, he has he? Practically saying that your old man don't amount to nothing, are you?
Well, you know I don't mean that, Dad. You always take the wrong meaning. Mom just...
Mom says. Is that all you can say? You and your stepmom siding against me all the time. I'm getting sick and tired of it. And it's going to stop now.
You don't side against your Dad. And seeing that she's making enough now to be able to send me, I think you'd be glad.
Glad, you think? To have my own son dependent on his stepma to provide for him? Getting so high and mighty that he looks down on his dad as just a candy drummer?
Now, Dad...
Now, you listen to me. I ain't gonna have it. I'm still boss in my own house, and you'll do what I say.
But why...
I suppose you'll be saying next that I ought to stay home and do the housework so that your stepma can put all her time in that story writing of hers. I ought to be just a nobody in my own home since that woman has come to wear the breeches, since she stole my own son from me.
But, Dad, she's your wife. She's been the best mother in the world to me. I don't...
And haven't I been the best father to you? Just because I ain't making all the money in the world, I don't count, huh? That's true. I'll show you who counts, you young whoop. I'll show you. There. Oh!
There. Dad, why...
Now, come on. I'll show you I can still whip the living daylights out of you, you little...
Dad, I tell you what...
Edward, what is all this? Ralph, are you hurt?
I'm all right, Mom. I thought you were busy upstairs.
I was. But you couldn't lay again to make such a racket, I could hear you over my typing. What's the trouble, Everett?
I ain't going to be dictated to in my own home.
Why, what do you mean?
Ralph here tells me you got it all fixed for him to go to that big Eastern college.
I just mentioned it, Mom.
Oh, you should have let me ask your father, Ralph. Nothing can be definitely arranged until he gives his consent. You know that.
What? You mean you two ain't just cooked this up between you without telling me nothing about it?
Of course not. Oh, we did talk a little about it, but you were on your trip and it was hard to write in a letter. I thought we'd talk it over tonight after you rested, dear.
Oh. Oh, well, I guess that's different.
But, Mom, you...
Never mind, Ralph. Your father and I can come to some agreement, I'm sure. We'll just drop the matter for the present.
Ralph did go to Purdue University, and apparently with his father's full consent, although it was his stepmother who sent him the necessary funds. We find young Hughes in his room one afternoon the following January, talking with a classmate.
Well, you've had the room to yourself over the holidays, Ralph.
Yeah, I ought to have got a lot of work done anyway.
Well, I don't see why you didn't go home. After all, your folks wanted you to come.
Well, my stepmother did, Pete. But she has expenses enough with sending me here. That railroad fare would have knocked too big a hole in her budget. Besides, when I'm there, Dad's always quarreling with her about me. It isn't so pleasant.
She's a writer, isn't she?
Yeah. Confession stories. You know, I'm a girl of 16, and I and my sweetheart, and I'm an unhappily married woman. Well, not that she isn't good. She's had a few things in the slick paper magazines lately, poems and such. She's the only mother I've ever known, and I think she's the best in the world.
But she's only your stepmother, Ralph. And your dad...
Well, it's this way, Pete.
Hey, girlies! Oh, you're here, Ralph. I just got my mail and there's a letter for you. Thought I'd bring it up. Maybe you're checking it.
Thanks, Joe. Mother, do you mind if I read it, Pete? I'm kind of anxious.
Go right ahead. I got to be going anyway. Wait a minute, Joe. I'm coming with you.
Okay. Say, what train you get in on? I came on the 6:18.
Huh? Hold on a minute, will you? There's something I...
Bad news? Well, sure, I'll wait. See you later, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's a greasy spoon tonight.
Thanks for bringing this letter up, Joe.
The pleasure's all mine, my dear. Well, toodaloo, girlies.
What's the matter, Ralph? You look as though you lost your last friend.
I guess she just about hit the nail on the head, Pete. Can't quite make it out. You know what I told you about Mom. We'll read this paragraph here.
Typewritten.
She says she's forgotten how to write anything but her own name in longhand anymore. But read it out loud. Maybe it'll sink into my mind better that way.
Well, sure. Dear Ralph, I'm sorry to have to write you this letter, but I'm going to leave your father because another man has come into my life. He's coming for me in a big automobile. I'm leaving the cat here because your father is very fond of him. But I'm taking the dog with me. I'm so nervous I can scarcely write, and I can hardly spell anything.
I can't believe it.
It does seem funny.
She goes on to say that she believes Dad is somewhere in New Mexico now and that she's written him a letter, too.
This doesn't sound like your mother.
Well, that's what puzzles me. But here's her signature, your loving mother, and then in her own hand, Ann Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
I know she wrote the address on the envelope.
You said she's a writer.
Yeah. And you're thinking the same thing I am, if you noticed what I did in the letter.
Yes, no capital I's. All small letters.
Doesn't make sense, Pete. She couldn't be so nervous that she forgot how to typewrite the most important word of a confession story. They're just about made up of capital I's.
Listen, Ralph. This sounds more like a letter from one of her heroines. Maybe she's working out a new plot, a detective story, and she's trying it out on you.
Oh, that may be, but... No, that's too far-fetched, Pete. Besides, she wouldn't be so inconsiderate as to scare me like that. Mom never was a practical joker.
Well, then, it must be that she's been deeper than you think.
Dad must have had an inkling of it. He's been home quite a bit since fall. I can't believe it.
Well, Ralph, there's just one way to find out.
I know it, Pete. And I'm going to take it. I'm leaving for home tonight.
Ralph Hughes went home to Pueblo. He knew he would find the family home empty, and he had vague forebodings of why this would be so. Not because he thought that the letter told the truth, but because of a suspicion that he dared not face even in his thoughts during the long, anxious train ride. When he finally arrived, Ralph hastened to the home of his stepmother's sister, a Mrs. Moore. He showed the letter to her and her husband, and then all three visited the sheriff, who accompanied them to the Hughes residence.
Yeah, well, here we are, folks. You say you're having a key, huh?
No, Sheriff, I haven't.
Yeah.
Does look lonely. I should have come over to see Ann more often. I haven't heard from her or of her in more than a week.
Yeah, come on. I guess we'll have to break in.
Yeah. Bust the door in, Sheriff?
No, I guess the quickest thing to do would be to break one of those small panes of glass in that front window. Take off the cat, Mr. Moore.
Oh, why didn't I take time to see Ann oftener?
Okay, now, Annie, we'll find out what's happened soon.
Well, here goes. There, now turn the cat, open her up, and get in. I'll open the front door from inside for you.
I wonder if Mom left anything else inside. I wonder.
No use wondering now, Ralph. You ought to have something pretty soon.
Yeah, come on in, folks. Found something already. Look at that.
Well, what are those stains on the rug? And here on the furniture? I never saw them when I was here before.
Well, they're not very old. I guess, Mrs. Moore, those are blood stains.
Oh,
yeah.
And she must have been...
Now,
let's not jump to conclusions. You stay here with your wife, Mr. Moore. Ralph, you look in your mother's room.
Yeah, that's where she used to write. I'll go see. Maybe there's something.
Yeah, I have an idea, Mr. Moore. I'll be right back.
Come on, buck up here. Maybe she just went on a trip or something.
You know you don't think that. You're just trying to make me feel better. Oh, I'll never forgive myself, never.
But what could you have done?
I could have come over. I could have found out something of what was happening. I haven't been here since the party on New Year's Eve. You know, when Anne gave us club members each one of those papers with the New Year's thoughts on them.
I thought Everett wrote those.
He did, but she was going to when she signed them. When she was going to be so busy, Everett suggested that she just sign the sheets of paper, and then he wrote the rest. They weren't as good as she could have written, though.
Yeah, what's that about, the sheets of paper that Miss View signed?
I was just telling my husband. The last time I was here was on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Anne told us that she had intended to write something to each of us.
Uh-huh.
Everett suggested it, but when he found that she was going to be busy, he said for her to just sign the sheets, and he wrote the thoughts for the New Year on them.
Did you take them home with you?
Why, yes. They were sort of funny, and Everett seemed kind of proud of them. Anne said she signed two extra sheets for him in case he made any mistakes, but he just wrote them right off the first time, all of them, even though she was the writer of the family.
So he suggested it, huh? He had two extra sheets left.
Why, yes, but...
There's nothing in her room, and her everyday clothes are gone. Just some of her new ones in the closet.
I found some buttons and part of a burned shoe in the furnace, my boy. You try to keep a stiff upper lip now, but I guess your fears were well-founded. We'll get hold of your father at once.
Not many days later, Everett Hughes, who had been located in Las Vegas, New Mexico, was hurried back to Pueblo. His meeting with his son was not a happy one as they faced each other in the presence of the sheriff in the latter's office. And he faced the evidence that Ralph's first suspicions had unearthed. Finally, he broke down.
Oh, no, you don't have to say any more, Sheriff. Yes, I killed.
Dad.
But there's no blood on my hands, son. I had to do it. It was her life or mine. I shot her in self-defense and buried the body 20 miles east of Wallensburg.
Self-defense? How do you mean?
Why, Dad, I can't believe...
Well, that's how it was, son. You know, we always had trouble over money. She always made more than I did. And this time we had a worse quarrel than ever.
Yeah, when was this exactly?
January 3rd. I won't forget that date. It got worse and worse, and finally she rushed at me with a revolver, and the rifle happened to be laying on the dresser, and, well, I just fired at her. I had to. I didn't want to do it, Ralphie, but I had to. You believe me, don't you, son?
I don't know what... Yeah, Dad, I believe you.
But the sheriff was not so trusting. He went on with his investigation and found... Well, let him tell you in his own words.
Yeah, I found what I suspected. Hughes had typed two letters on the sheets with his wife's signature that were left from the New Year's party. One to his son and one to himself. Each closed just above the wife's signature. Well, so the next day he asked her to address an envelope to her stepson for him, and she did. This clearly shows that the crime was one of careful plotting, worked out before New Year's Eve. He mailed the two letters on January 4th, I believe, and I also learned that he drew $80 from his bank on that day. Disappeared in his car. Now, that must have been when he took his wife's body and buried her, as he confessed. Then drove on down to New Mexico. This entire case was opened because of his son's noticing a slight mistake. We might say that Everett Hughes came within the literal dotting of an I of committing the perfect crime. But his case proves again that no crime has ever been perfect.
Don't miss next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly. It is packed full of fascinating features. And remember, the year's literary sensation, Dead Man's Passport, begins in this issue. It is written by one of the masters of thrilling fiction, Max Brand, and is a story of exciting adventure along the China coast. You won't want to miss one thrilling word of Dead Man's Passport.